Well, hello everybody out there in music video land, and welcome to another edition of the IMVDB podcast. This week in music videos, brought to you by your super good friends at IMVDB.com, the Internet Music Video Database. My name is Adam of the IMVDB, and with me, as usual, of the popular website Vimeo.com and IMVDB is Doug Klinger. How are you, Doug?
Doing super good, Adam. You getting mad. I'm getting rich.
I mean, I am getting a little angry, but at the same time, you're getting rich, and that is making me more mad. I don't know how we're going to resolve this conflict. We may need mediation. And speaking of mediation...
He is a world-famous mediator.
That's right. From FringeMusicFix.com, from North of the Wall, it is Mr. Adam Alexander. Adam, how are you?
I'm great. I'm anxious to keep you guys under control tonight, because things could get really heated here.
Well,
what website are you from, Fairholme? You named the websites that Adam Alexander and I are from. What website are you from?
Well, it's a little website you may know called adamfairholme.info.
Oh, shit. I was doing some browsing on this website this week, actually.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
You may
have... Now, Adam, can you explain why you don't have adamfairholme.com?
Well, it's definitely not because I used to have adamfairholme.com and I accidentally let it, what do they call it, relapse? And yeah. Definitely Chinese domain squatters did not get it, for sure.
Because most people who let their name.com lapse are able to get it back. It's like, oops, here's $8 again. Thanks for it back. But someone stole your domain, is what you're saying.
That is exactly what happened. And yes, I am obviously not some sort of celebrity or important person of any sort of sort, but I think I just had the bad luck for that. Chinese domain squatters were like, yeah, this guy, let's get this.
Little known fact.
Have you reached out to get it back, though, at all?
No.
And they want $50,000.
Because, you know, in the age of many different domain endings, it was significantly easier to just buy adamfairholme.info.
In the age of who gives a fuck.
Exactly, yeah.
Little known fact, the reason why we switched from Filmed Insert to IMVDB is because the same thing happened. Adam, you've got a history of letting people steal our domains. just kidding.
That's not true. We still own filmedinsert.com.
Yeah, if you type it in, it'll just bring you to the same website that IMVDB brings you to.
But we did get IMVDB.com in a late night domain on auction for like some ridiculously small sum of money, right?
Yeah, just 50,000.
That's right. So we are a podcast talking about music video releases, other music video related news. Sometimes we kind of veer into just the music news. Another, you know, we're also interested in music technology as well. And this has been a crazy week for all of that kind of stuff. And I'm just talking. I'm not even talking about the music video stuff we're going to talk about, which includes. What I would say is definitely, it was only January, but the most messed up video of 2016 so far.
Oh, wow. I don't even know which one this is.
You don't know which one it is?
Well, I guess I do.
Yeah. There are different videos that are messed up for different reasons, but the most kind of violent, depraved.
Yeah, right. Unexpected.
But yeah, absolutely unexpected. So we have a great slate of music videos to talk about a little bit later on in the podcast, but we also have a little bit of... you know, you're going to find music video news strictly is a little bit slow in coming for some reason this time of year.
So we're there's stuff that tangentially relates.
Right. And one of the things that kind of caught our eye is the announcement that Spotify is moving into video. Spotify, the former competitor to RDO before they folded, and primarily 100% a music streaming service.
Yeah, and everybody's getting into video, so it's no surprise. I mean, Tidal and all of these new streaming services have it built in right away, but Apple Music, you know, iTunes essentially now doubling down on video, and Facebook now doubling down on video, and Tim Hortons now doubling down on video. You're just getting video from... Everybody is getting into this game. And so it's not a surprise that Spotify's jumping in.
But the strange thing was is that – so and Adam and I were talking about this a while ago or earlier today and agreed that it is strange that, you know, Spotify has cemented themselves as a primo music service. All of their kind of unique and interesting features, like the curated weekly recommendations playlist, the Discover Weekly playlist that they create for you, that has really defined Spotify as a service. Everything is catered around music and music curation. And they launched this video service, and it is all like Netflix and Hulu style content, like basically shows. You go in there, and it's rolled out, I believe, primarily on Android right now. It's going to come to iOS, and I assume it will come eventually to the desktop Spotify application. But basically, you're watching TV shows, which for many reasons seems strange to me.
Yeah.
Mainly, and they also have podcasts and Spotify for a
while. Are they music related TV shows?
No. Not at all.
Yeah. What it was? What, Adam? Do you remember what kind of?
Well, program they listed
offering? Like Just Shoot Me and Suddenly Susan and these types.
They basically listed some networks. I didn't see any specific programs cited, but yeah, they didn't sound to be. It wasn't even MTV. It was NBC, the BBC. Which could do have some music themed content. I guess they could be showing episodes of The Voice. I don't know.
Or
I don't
know what's going on. They could be showing the musical acts from Jimmy Fallon and
This is like the Daily Show and SportsCenter kind of thing.
No, but what I'm saying is it could trend in that direction, where if they already have a content deal with NBC, that they could be showing you know, if people are like, look, give me a break. I watch your music-related content, but, I'm not watching this other stuff that you're trying to make me watch. But maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe – like, again, you know, all of these companies need to have next steps, right? Like, Google is never okay with just telling you, you know, the stuff you want, like the answering your questions. Like, they want to be – to provide every service for you. And it makes sense that every – one of these companies wants to expand. It's just so interesting that they don't kind of try to bridge the jump at all with Spotify. For Spotify to be going from like, all right, where you listen to music, to it's like, now where we go to entertain you through video of a different kind completely. It makes less sense to me to at least not have like kind of some kind of bridge where it's like, okay, this is music video, and then it's video without the music. It feels like a wider leap than you'd expect.
Yeah, and for a long time, Spotify has been vocal about the fact that they want to add a podcast offering, which makes sense. Podcasts are audio; they're not music, obviously, but they fit into sort of the Spotify offering of what you can get from their service. So they have actually added that. It's interesting. So they just put this under the browse. If you're familiar with Spotify and how it's been, how the organization of it has evolved over time, you'll be very familiar with the browse section, which holds things like charts, your genre and mood, playlists, new releases, and then their Discover tab. And this has just been sort of shoehorned in there, and it's under the moniker of video shows, which I don't think I've heard a more awkward like labeling of what everything about this just makes no sense to me. And so
but if
you told me like earlier today that, hey, Spotify is going to integrate music videos into their service, then that would have made complete sense. I don't understand this. And it also, you know, the other flip side of that is it also leaves the door still open for one of these services to do an actual decent, not just like half-assed job of integrating music videos.
Can I just tell you that video shows sounds like something Borat would say? Let's go to the movie film. Let's go to the, like, it just like, man, did you guys think when we started this podcast that you'd get a Borat impression out of me at one point?
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been working on it. What a dumb, clunky rollout. None of this seems to make sense to me. Have you watched any of this content? And either of you guys?
I have not, because I have an iOS device and it is not rolling out to iOS until next week. But it is on Android, and I have seen a few screenshots. And it yeah, it just seems odd. But I think it is really interesting because now Apple Music, for lack of a better term, is a competitor of Spotify's, I believe. Since they have obviously put so many resources into not only premiering music videos, but getting them made, and in some cases, as we've heard, funding them, that I guess it could be sort of seen as catch up from Spotify's perspective. Of like, hey, we're going to do music videos as well and integrate in that service. But the thing that that Spotify has done better than any other competitor, maybe RDO not included. I know there are some, Adam, probably you would probably count among the faithful, the RDO faithful. But the thing that they've done, I think, better than anybody else is organizing and making the product extremely clear to the people who are using it. So if they combine that aesthetic and the way that they're able to, you know, it's taken them, they didn't get it from day one. It's taken them a while to figure that out. But Apple Music is way, way, way behind in that aspect. If they can figure that out, I think that would be a positive direction for the product. I don't see how this is going to actually benefit them in any way.
Well, so here's the thing, though. That is oftentimes the difference maker between services, right? Like, there's really no significant difference between the music you get on Apple Music, that you get on Spotify, that you get on Google Play. Like, I remember the night that the Beatles ended up on all of these streaming platforms, and every single streaming platform was celebrating it like it was some personal individual win. You know, finally the Beatles on Spotify, but like fucking the Beatles showed up on 11 places at the same time that night. And so what ends up differentiating these companies and these products is the organization of content. And Spotify organizes their content in a way that is better than any of their competitors. And so it could work for video too. They have an algorithm that recommends for most people really relevant and content that they had otherwise wouldn't have discovered. And if they can bring that to video, it doesn't matter what shows, what type of content they have, because they're going to have a ton of it. And they're going to have something for everyone. And if they could make you find that, that's going to, you know, that really could be, you know, very, very good. But who knows? Who knows if the system they built for music is going to work the same way for video content? Because it's not necessarily the same thing. It's a lot easier to, I think, make connections between musicians and styles of music to do what Spotify does. I think it's a lot more complicated to do it with video content. But you know, they've really cracked this one nut, and maybe they can do it again in video.
And I would direct, if anybody's a Spotify user or is even interested in what Spotify is doing, we'll put a link in the show notes to Adam Pasek's article for Quartz, The Magic That Makes Spotify's Discover Weekly Playlists So Damn Good. And I read a lot of these articles about how different features work or how some technical issue or challenge was surmounted by different teams. And a lot of them, I remember there was an article about how Instagram overcame the issue of having these huge celebrities use their platform and sort of driving tons of traffic to them. And the basis of the – or the, like the conclusion the article came to is they just used caching. They're just like, yeah, instead of counting all the likes on every single like page load, we cached it. It's like, yeah, that's a great tip. But this goes really this goes really into depth in how all of the fascinating data that they kind of put into what makes Discover Weekly such a great playlist. Adam, after RDO, where did you go? Did you go to Spotify, or what are you on now?
I'm on Spotify, yeah. I had to basically. There's not really any Pandora bought RDO. Pandora is not available in Canada, so yeah, it was kind of.
And what about Apple Music either? Or
that wasn't a consideration. I did try Google Music to see how it was, but it didn't compare. And basically, just what you had mentioned, Doug, the organization of the content was really lacking on Google Music. So yeah, I had to do Spotify. And I mean. Aside from the social component, which is what I would argue that RDO probably did better than Spotify. I mean, Spotify is the only other one with a solid social component where you can watch what people are listening to and share playlists, and they do that well as well. So,
but the Discover Weekly thing
is cool.
People sing that. I don't get much use out of it. I don't know what it is about me or my listening habits or what. That I personally don't usually find anything I like in Discover Weekly, but or if I like it, it's something that I've heard 20 years ago. But and just had, you know, and hadn't made a Spotify playlist with it, you know. But I know a lot of people who basically say, like, if it weren't for Discover Weekly, they wouldn't use Spotify.
It really is incredible, and this article goes into depth and you know how they put that together, because it's Discover Weekly is not an old feature. It's not like they launched with it. It's and they have a whole team that's behind it. Doug, I enjoy your Yams playlist.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I'm a big follower of other people's playlists if I see them pop up.
Nice. What do you like about my Yams playlist?
I just, you know,
it's very like dance hip hop heavy. Like it's really hip hop,
yeah.
It's hip hop you can dance to,
and it's. I mean, it's difficult to find, you know, new good music, or just like no, like you can get into this loop where you listen to the same stuff all the time.
Yeah,
and that is fun for some instances, and sometimes you just want to listen to the stuff that you want to listen to. But the beauty of, and it's incredible that this didn't exist 5 years ago, and we were just sort of, you know, playing our libraries from iTunes. And that it's incredible how much that's progressed. But
you used to think how crazy it was to, like, oh my god, I have 1,300 songs. I could never, like, could be trapped on a desert island. You know, like, it seems so crazy. It's not even worth thinking about what it was a step before, and you just had massive books of CDs, mm-hmm. and you know. But like, yeah, even what, like, what we've come from just from digitalizing music. So, you know, you're right. That's funny. I haven't really thought of it in those terms. But everyone gets like a little bit different thing out of it. It's funny that you like add it, you know, you guys get a lot more out of the social component and but it's all there. And mm-hmm. so if that can, you know, if they can get that stuff to kind of work together for video, because, you know, YouTube doesn't really do it. And obviously nobody's using these other platforms, really. Like, I don't know anyone who – Apple Music, yes. But I don't know anyone who is a, like, diehard user of anything else. And the only people who I know who use Apple Music were the people who, prior to that, were just downloading all of their music on iTunes.
Yeah.
And that was, like, they weren't even streaming. That was their conversion.
I do know one diehard Tidal user.
Really? Who?
Yes. It is actually my boss at work.
Now, what is it about Tidal that makes him a diehard Tidal user?
So this is Dave. Dave, if you're listening, what's up?
Shout
outs to Dave. So Dave actually used Tidal. I, you know, we obviously do a lot with computers, and I've seen his desktop many times, and he plugged his desktop in, and I was like, what is this icon down here? And he said, it's Tidal. And he opened it up and showed me all around it. And
what is this broke ass?
Well, he actually used Tidal before Jay-Z bought it.
Oh, wow.
Believe it or not. And it was before the high fidelity. Dave is,
right, so that's not why he uses it. I remember that being such a selling point. Like, oh, HD music.
That is originally what brought him to Tidal before Jay-Z bought it. But you know, that is an outlier. You know, I was fascinated by that because people who can walk you through the, you know, the intricacies of Tidal are few and far between. So,
he's got his hands on the Rihanna song that came out today.
Yeah. So Rihanna's new song featuring Drake, what's it called? It's just a W.
Work.
Like the Iggy Azalea song. So Rihanna was overshadowed by a little Kanye West action.
Yeah, right. Although that song's fantastic. I found like there was a Beats 1 stream or something. I don't know where it was, but I heard it and I was liking it.
The Rihanna song?
Yeah.
I haven't heard it yet.
Adam Alexander?
I have not heard it yet, but I'm anxious to. I'm down with some Rihanna. That's good.
If you'd heard it, there'd be no question what the song is, what the name of the song is, because the chorus is basically
work,
like that. Not quite, but it did sound like you read the lyrics without knowing. Like if I just handed you a sheet of the paper with the lyrics, but it doesn't sound like that at all. Anyway, Kanye West and Wiz Khalifa got into an afternoon bit of entertainment today. Who wants to explain this?
Well, I watched it live on Twitter. Live-ish.
I mean, I tuned in kind of mid Kanye Twitter rant, mm-hmm. and he was firing him off fast.
So let me attempt to explain it. And Doug, you and Adam, you tell me if I'm off base or not.
Go all the way back to my beautiful dark twisted fantasy.
Okay, so in 2010, the issue was that Kanye West is working on an album. Was named Swish, which I thought was a great name. And then yesterday, which would have been Tuesday, January 26th, Kanye announced the name was going to be
Waves.
Which was kind of promoted a little bit of backlash. I don't know how much he was actually paying attention to. But one of the people that were kind of calling him out on it was Wiz Khalifa. And I don't really know the exact reason behind he was calling him out on it. He seemed to be insinuating that he was ripping somebody off. Do you know anything about that aspect
of it? I am not too familiar with that aspect. Mm-hmm. What I know that like it did seem to be something like that going on too. But what really set Kanye off was
the KK.
Was Wiz Khalifa's use of the using the initials KK in a tweet, which it seems to mean Khalifa Kush, right?
Yeah.
Which is Wiz Khalifa's weed brand. And I guess Kanye thought it meant Kim Kardashian. And the reason that there might be some sore areas with people's significant others and Wiz Khalifa and Kanye West is that Wiz Khalifa's current
wife
is Amber Rose, mm-hmm. which is Kanye West's former girlfriend, who, why I mentioned My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, it is assumed that much of that, or you know, several points of that album are meant to be directed at Amber Rose.
It was my understanding that most of that album is about her.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, that's also my understanding.
So after that, Kanye West just kind of went off. I picked it up around the time he started numbering his tweets.
Which is always a good sign.
Yeah. And he didn't do like a countdown. He just sort of numbered them going upwards, which is always interesting. So you never knew when it was going to end. And I think it ended up being about 18.
And when you don't, the reason that's significant is you number it and show how many there are, you know, 1/3, showing that there's going to be 3 tweets. Yes. So people know to read 3. Otherwise, you're just telling people Twitter works backwards because you're not getting any other indication. Not to say that Kanye should know that, and not to take anything away from what Kanye achieved today by his Twitter rant.
So, you know, Kanye went through all these things about how, he was, super upset about this. And then, Wiz Khalifa tweeted before Kanye had really even dug into his Twitter rant, KK is weed, fool. Reasons why you're not wavy. Go back to Swish.
And reasons why you're not wavy is a good sentence.
Wiz Khalifa has tweeted many things about how he thinks, Wave is a shitty album title. And Kanye West went and deleted all of these tweets.
Wait, hold on. We also need to say what – did you see Amber Rose's tweet though?
I did not.
It's something to the effect of like, you're just mad that I'm not there to play in your butthole anymore.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Can anybody explain to me why the second like response to any Kanye West tweet is the word dad? It's –
Well, that's, I think that's like thing that kids do now to like just be like, I am so in love with this person that they're my that I'm going to call them mom or dad. And I think it's something that originates from more of like a the Kardashian element of Kanye's fan base. And you know, you would see that type of thing more like any Kardashian tweet to see like mom or something. And I think that that's just the counterbalance from what I've observed. I've not gone to Urban Dictionary or I don't know what other website would maybe tell me, Encyclopedia Dramatica.
Man, Kanye has gotten himself in some strange stuff. But the whole idea behind this and the reason why this has actually happened and is in the news is the fact that Kanye West has a new album come out yet. And with that, I am very excited about any music videos that we can.
Well, right. Because if you recall the like what he did with his last music videos, his last album, he came out with several music videos and they were significant for a variety of reasons. Starting all the way back from which song was it?
New Slaves, I think.
New Slaves that he projected on the side of buildings and all over the world or all over the country.
All over the world, yeah. You went to one of those.
I did. It was
in Columbus Circle.
It was weird. and then it was great. It was great to like for that to be around that atmosphere of like a bunch of people crowding around a public space for some kind of guerrilla music video to be played. You know, you see music videos mainly on the internet now, sometimes on television. If you're lucky, you see them on a screen somewhere. But, you know, there are very few opportunities to see it, you know, illegally projected on the side of a building.
Well, just to be clear, you would go to around this time before Yeezus came out, you would go to KanyeWest.com and it would, the only thing – first of all, KanyeWest.com only has one thing at a time, which I think is genius.
Yeah.
And it would basically just have a map with all these different places and times. And I think this was the first wave of them. There were different waves. But this weekend, I believe it was in the summer, it was like, you know, different places in Brooklyn and all around New York. There wasn't a lot of them. One of them is Columbus Circle. You go there at the appointed time and date, and a van just pulls up. Projector pops out of the van and then plays New Slaves, something that would not be the video. It was just him, kind of his face, but it was the song that played out.
What is the New Slaves video? Is that the three, like, is that the animated one?
I don't believe New Slaves had a video.
Oh, so I guess that is the, like, maybe it is and it just never existed in any other way but on the side of buildings.
I mean, that's a tough one to call.
I'm going to say that that's a music video that exists, but it only exists in that form.
Yeah, I think you wouldn't be right. Because the ones from that album that came out were Black Skinhead, the Nick Knight video, and then the famous Bound 2 video, also by
Nick Knight. Also Nick Knight, right. Yeah. Right. So the music, Kanye's music videos are always significant for different ways.
Yeah, for sure.
And I can only imagine what it's going to mean, you know. For this, and so I do think, you know, despite the Amber Rose's butthole tweet not having a direct link to this to music videos, Kanye West coming out with an album certainly does almost guarantee to have to come along with some music video news, and you know, we're just telling everyone to look out for that.
And yet, Kanye West, I feel like, is always at his best. Both musically and music video-ly, when he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
I know it is not in many people's minds aging well, but My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, I think, is still an amazing album, and Runaway is still an amazing video. It remains to be seen, so I'm excited.
So I think we've got one more pretend music video to talk about before we get into some of the real music videos released this week. Mm-hmm. Can we touch on Hello Huck?
Absolutely.
Can we do this?
This is really important music video news, you guys.
This is really important music video news. It's Wednesday, January 27th. Tonight there's a GOP debate taking place on Fox News.
I thought it was tomorrow.
Oh, maybe it is. I don't know anything.
Because Donald Trump he's got his own thing going on.
Oh, okay. So tomorrow there's a debate, but we're in the heat of the primary season, the 2016 presidential election. And Mike Huckabee is a candidate for the Republican nomination. Mm-hmm. And he released an Iowa themed parody video of Adele's Hello, where he parody is a very kind term.
Because, yes, very charitable of you.
Very charitable. I think he's just using that term to like so he doesn't get sued. And this is not like a super PAC video or you know because these candidates famously you know in the last few election cycles it's been made a lot of folks have brought it. It's been brought to a lot of folks' attention that candidates will put like just raw B-roll of themselves on their website so super PACs can go and download it and cut together their own political ads for these candidates. This is not what this is. This is from Mike Huckabee directly, made this music video with rewritten lyrics that relate to Mike Huckabee and Iowa and the election. And then they shot a music video for it, which is basically just Mike Huckabee either on the phone or looking sad. Just like shots between that, and then the lyrics are on the screen, which make for like a really fantastic, like so many opportunities to take just some really great screenshots of just like Mike Huckabee looking really sad with the word image or something like that. Just like this doesn't make sense, like you know, out of context. It just looks weird. So that's something that I spent like all day doing.
I think you are a pioneer of this video because this does not have a lot of views, relatively speaking. It's at like 60,000 views, I think.
Yeah, but I did find it on like some. I feel like I found it on some blog that was pretty big. I don't know how it hasn't really lit the web on fire. Too much Kanye stuff going on.
Adam, are you know, you being from Canada, are you familiar with who Mike Huckabee is?
I'm not. I can honestly say that we do not have any kind of parody. Nothing like this happens when we have elections.
There's nothing. Trudeau or Junior.
Not as of yet. No parody music videos. This is amazing. This is a piece. This is a beautiful. Wow. I don't even know.
This fight? He used, there's one really great shot where like one person throws a cell phone to another person.
Right.
I can't figure out who the thrower, the catcher is supposed to be and what this and what it's supposed to signify. But it's a really great moment.
And it's interesting that – so there are many – I mean we could spend all night talking about what doesn't make sense in this music video because for the fact that the first like 30 seconds is taken up by just them naming foods is enough for me. But one of the charming things about this music video is that you can tell that Mike Huckabee is like game but doesn't really know what's going on. He's very obviously being directed to do different things but – he kind of has a smile on, like he doesn't really know what's going on, but he knows whatever's going on is
meant to be humorous. Like
yeah, it's meant to be funny. So, and it fails on literally every level from just from you know obviously being a parody of anything to also being sort of something that could be made sense of by sitting down and watching it. They also did the entire song.
Yeah, the whole song,
3.5 minutes long. And
yeah, Hello is not. It's not a long song, but it's not a short song.
Right.
It does not have a lot of – there's not a lot of variations.
So it's safe to – it's recognizable, I'm sure.
Right.
It passed 1 billion views this week.
Oh, is it 1 billion views?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's obvious. That's got to be a record.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's got to be, yeah. I mean, it's less than 3 months, or like just at 3 months. It came out that, you know, October 20-something.
Right.
So, yeah, I think this week, like, 4 more videos passed the billion view mark. yeah, I know. So it's, but like, I don't know what this video is meant to achieve. Who watches this video and they're like, oh, this pushes me over the edge for Mike Huckabee. He looked sad at some random person saying a parody version of Hello behind him. What's your favorite lyric of this song?
Well, as I click around, there are so many great, like, as you mentioned, little kind of little pieces. Mine is a screenshot that I landed on. It's at 1:51 in the video of Huckabee just sort of like, he's outside, he's just sort of staring off in the distance with a big smile on his face, and the caption below just says, "Today."
There's so many great, like pulling a screenshot of Mike Huckabee on a phone with the word baked beans on the screen. My favorite lyric is, "Hello, Davenport. Amish chairs." Hold on. "Hello, Davenport. Amish chairs. Casey's jerky. Quad City has quite a port." That's my favorite. So hold on. Let's see if I can string this together better. "Hello, Davenport. Amish chairs. Casey's jerky. Quad City has quite a port." That's somebody got paid money to write that. And then sing it. And then Mike Huckabee is holding a wall phone.
I think it's the iPhone.
No, but there's 6S. They use some other shots of him. For this part, he's in an office. It just like doesn't make sense. They're like, "Look, we can't keep using the same shot of him on a cell phone. Go find me any other footage of him on the phone, and we'll cut it in."
Yeah, at some point they're using like Hillary Clinton dancing with Ellen, which you think would be.
I mean, doesn't make any sense.
People like Ellen. It's not like Iowa is all against Ellen.
He gets these text messages at points too.
Yeah,
one from Ted Cruz saying he's Canadian. Adam, you get that joke?
I don't because I don't know who Ted Cruz is, but I still thought that little interchange on the was hilarious. Little emoji skates and Canadian.
The joke still
nails. It still works.
I'm not Czech. I'm Canadian.
So Adam, so this is an interesting opportunity here because Ted Cruz is essentially in second place for. Behind Donald Trump for the Republican nomination, depending on who you talk to. But at this point, that seems what it is. And Ted Cruz was actually born in Canada.
Okay.
His parents were American, but he was American citizens at the time of his birth. But he was technically physically born in, I think it was Alberta, but I'm not sure. So there's been a little bit of controversy about that. But
mm-hmm.
So we've gone pretty far into what I mean, obviously this is the music video of the week.
Yeah, clearly.
And this is fresh off the presses. This came out today. Doug, thank you for bringing this to our attention.
I wonder if we should list this in the database. Find a way.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get Caleb to write about
under
it.
Under Adele, yeah. But we should talk about some of the actual music videos that came out this week.
I'd love to.
Because there's some shit. There's some, well, not shit isn't bad, but some interesting stuff.
As in some dope shit.
Right, as in some dope shit. And speaking of dope shit, I think we should talk about my favorite dope dude, and that is Mr. 2 Chainz.
I'd love to start here.
Everybody's uncle.
With Watch Out, directed by Motion Family.
Motion Family is a director that listeners may or may not be familiar with, but we
director have, clan fan they're a director family
director family right and but they have he has done a lot of I get my pronouns mixed up.
That's fine.
I've done a lot of hip-hop videos
including like Fuck Up Some Commas by Future, which I'm sure everyone has seen,
right? And My N-Word from 2013 by YG, which is a great video. I like that one a lot.
Many ways.
But this one is unique in a lot of different ways. First of all, 2 Chainz is usually there are very few 2 Chainz songs that either he's not featuring on or has a feature on. There are very few, like, one, at least, like, singles that are just 2 Chainz.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that.
And this one is just 2 Chainz, and the video is a focus solely on 2 Chainz, which is unique in its own right. We're used to seeing 2 Chainz play kind of bit parts in videos or kind of play alongside somebody, like the video for a birthday song.
So I like the fact that 2 Chainz is always looking to be funny in his music videos, because I think he pulls it off for the most part. His lyrics are funny, you know. They're often explicit and, you know, all of that. But they are still very lighthearted, I think.
Doug, what's your favorite 2 Chainz couplet? I would say mine is the beautiful, sort of the timeless, sold out arenas, you can suck my penis. That is a line from 2 Chainz. That's one of my favorite lines of all time.
That's I'm gonna stand behind that. I don't know how to talk dirty to me. But that's a great one. And this video is a great one.
It really is. Yeah. So the concept of it is that 2 Chainz is his head is just, basically it's an easy concept to talk about. His head has just been put on other people's bodies.
Yeah. Some of them are, I think, are recognizable.
Such as?
It looks like it looks like one of the bodies is Terrio.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Lil Terrio, remember?
Yeah, Terrio. And then it looks like one of the bodies is the Why You Always Lying guy.
Now, so this really confused me because I thought in the beginning that, you know, that's the second shot. And I was like, oh, that's the Why You Fuck You Lying guy. But two things that I think go against that theory. Number one, the most recognizable thing from the Why You Lying video is the toilet in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
That is not there. That's an easy thing to do. It's an easy get. Number two, none of the other shots are like parodying other online videos.
Yeah, but but they are because Terrio's in it. And Terrio's a Vine kid also. And Why You Always Lying is a Vine.
Right, yeah.
And these are like, I think that, and I think there's more. I think that because also the Why Always Lying guy, he's got the same blue shirt and he's on the side of a building that's just like the Why You Always Lying. Like that's 100%.
Yeah, but I just don't know why they didn't get the toilet.
I don't know. But also I feel like some of these other folks are, if it's Terrio and if it's the Why You Always Lying guy, I feel like there's a couple other references in here that we might just not be getting.
Yeah.
And some other folks, because that's 100% Terrio, because this is 100% like a chubby little kid and he's doing so many of the specific Terrio dances that if they didn't get the actual Vine folks, that they are emulating them intentionally.
And so one of the distinct visual things about this video is that 2 Chainz's head is significantly larger than a normal human head.
Yeah. And in some of the shots, he's got a blunt in his mouth, and the blunt is massive too. Like they kept the blunt in proportion to his head, to his head, not to his body. So he's like smoking a blunt that's like the size of the arm of the body that he's on. And so one of the reasons I think it's probably easier to put a bigger head on, because then you just don't have to worry about the other head ever like coming through.
Right.
but also it's super funny.
Yeah.
It's super funny. And it like they don't follow any logic. Like he plays basketball against himself, but he's not everybody. He's some people. In one of the scenes, it looks like it's like him in the foreground playing basketball with himself, and then in the background, it's the guys who played him as themselves. I mean, it's not that the outfits are a little bit different, but that's basically what it looks like. And I also like that it looks like one of the guys playing basketball has like either an iPod on his ankle or a I don't know. Those are socks. Never mind. I don't like that at all. I don't get what I was saying. But anyway, this video is very silly and goofy. but it's very effective as well. And I also love the the vape pen product
placement. Yeah, for Dr. Dabber.
For Dr. Dabber,
the vape pen. Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes to drdabber.com.
100%. 100%. Mixed right in with that.
And of course, the prerequisite Beats product placement.
Beats right alongside a Dr. Dabber.
I mean, Dr. Dabber does look pretty cool.
I've seen ratings on them. They're not super great.
I want to see an It Vapes review for Dr.
Oh man, we should call It Vapes. I know we have a connection to It Vapes.
Right, It Vapes on Instagram.
Instagram, it's a really high level Instagram account.
Adam, are people in Canada vaping?
People in Canada are vaping. We caught up.
Absolutely nice. They're being exported across the border to you.
They are. Nice. Yes, they are.
Does anyone know the name of the guy who made the Why Always Lion vine?
Yeah, I put it in the Slack channel. It's I'll put the Know Your Meme thing. Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying?
Nicholas Fraser?
I believe that is it. Nicholas Fraser, yeah. That's one of those things that I love it, but I just don't understand how that surfaced.
Vine. He's a Vine guy.
Yeah, but he wasn't like a huge Vine guy.
Vine enough. But then stuff spreads on Vine very easily.
Right.
And then this is a very easy thing to use as a reaction on the internet.
Right.
And so that makes it easy to spread.
So speaking of reactions, I think we should go and talk about. I didn't know they were going to still make any more of these. But more of the Run the Jewels cat thing theme.
More of these cats. And this is a crazy one.
Yeah,
Syria. This is a great one.
So to just a quick recap, Run the Jewels did a remix album of Run the Jewels 2 featuring lots of cat sounds. It wasn't like a Guster, meow remix. It was sort of beats with some sort of meowing and cat elements. So they did a video
and they remade the whole album.
It was, wasn't it a Kickstarter, I believe?
Yeah. It was something like as they were making Run the Jewels 2, they put like a fake option on their website for like $50,000. They were like, if you for $50,000, we'll make a remix album with cat sounds, and then like some fans saw that and set up a GoFundMe or something. Like LP put it up as LP like thought it was a joke and thought nobody would ever do it, and they ended up giving the $50,000 to charity or something. Fans ended up like actually buying it and making it happen.
So back in 2015, I believe, October 2015, we got a video for Omar Darling, Don't Meow, directed by Hekta. And then this week, we got a video for Meow Purdy by Syriac, the director of Syriac. And this one, the other, if you remember the video from 2015, it was like cats kind of wreaking havoc on a city, Godzilla style, and it was funny. This one is more of a trippy thing. Still tons and tons of cats, but these cats are sort of, it's tough to describe. They're kind of,
it's just mutated. if you know Syriac's work,
it's very Syriac.
Yeah. You have a good idea, a good sense. Syriac, who is kind of like a web artist who oftentimes will make music videos, but you know, fans of the Netflix show With Bob and David might also recognize Syriac's work from the opening credits from that show.
So here's a question. So Syriac, his name is Syriac Harris. His Twitter icon is a skull with a hat on, a full size bowler hat. But then, who am I thinking of? Rough Mercies. Like at the end of his videos, there's a skull with a tiny bowler hat on. You see what I'm getting at? Not that any of them stole or maybe have even seen each other's thing, but they like. And Rough Mercy has done two Run the Jewels videos.
It just made me think of like the Tim and Eric tiny hat sketch.
Yeah,
the tiny bowler hat. yeah, maybe they're the same guy. No, they're not.
I mean, but maybe there's just something in the water that where you know, skulls with hats kind of appeals to them.
To appeal to really talented animators.
Talented animators. I mean, they obviously have an affinity for it, or mm-hmm. else they wouldn't use it,
right?
Maybe we can get both of them on. And they can tell us about it.
Yeah, right. And they can, also each wear bowler hats.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even though we'll trust them that they're
wearing. Well, because they need to do that because we always do. It's a requirement to be on the show.
We sent you one. Do you have it on?
My IMVDB bowler hat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I haven't received it yet. I hope it comes in soon. I need a hat.
You know how it goes with me trying to mail you stuff.
It's going to take. By the time it gets here, my head will be three sizes too big for it.
Does it happen?
It does.
I meant to ask you how your terminal head swelling is going.
It's a Canadian thing.
So I was impressed with Adam's ability to say IMVDB bowler hat with such ease and grace. And speaking of ease and grace, let's talk about Life in Gray by Point Point.
Ooh, oh boy. So when I mentioned that this had one of the most messed up videos of the year, this is the one I was talking about. Mm-hmm. So let me just walk you through my thought process about this video. You know, we got to do a spoiler alert here because it is a video with a plot twist. This is directed by Jodub, and you may remember the Jodub video that we talked a lot about in 2014, I believe.
Reload,
right. And by there's like three artists, Sebastian Grosso, Tommy Trash, and John Martin. Very big cinematic video. With like volcanoes and stuff.
Dragons.
Yeah, all these crazy elements and stuff. And a bunch of beautiful and amazing videos. He's an incredible director. So excited to watch a Jodub video. And it features these ladies, this dance troupe, and they're all young, attractive ladies. And they're dancing. One person seems to be like the leader of the dance troupe. And
she's probably an instructor or something.
Yeah, but yeah, she's like the same. Sure. She's like the same age and same level of hotness. Let's just say. and at the beginning of this video, I was like, I don't know. Have we talked to Jodub before?
We did about Reload not on the podcast, but you on
interviewed
the
him, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I was like. Like, I get it. Like, Jodub wants to get some sexy ladies in their underwear to film a video. Like, I was like, I'm in for this. I don't know where this is going.
Well, because also shot by Christoph Brandl, the cinematography in this music video is stunning.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. And I'm like, you know what? I don't – because, you know, it's not really apparent what's going on for the first, like, minute and a half. And really doesn't reveal itself until the very end. But – you're like all these girls are kind of like their friends. It looks like they live in some sort of trailer park. They're dancers, and then you get into
it's a fun loving attractive girls.
Yeah, I'm like
thing.
I'm like, yeah, not everyone needs to have volcanoes and dinosaurs. I get it. I'm gonna watch these sexy ladies do their thing, and then you get to this house party and they're drinking and having fun. And you're like, oh, okay, here we go. Which one of them are gonna, you know, discover their discover their love of each other or whatever. Because
I didn't anticipate that, but
they do insinuate a little bit of there's some romantic vibes at one point, and I thought that's where it was going as well.
It's a great misdirection. It really is.
Yeah, it's a red herring for sure.
Sorry, go ahead, Adam.
No, I was just gonna say that's definitely, I think, intentional for it to seem like it's leading to that place.
And then,
which we've seen before.
And there are no dark undertones to it in the beginning at all. It very much seems if it was just like if it ended with them just falling asleep drunk at a party and waking up and like walking into the sunset, I've seen that video before like a million times.
And this is a well executed version of that video. And if it would have stopped there,
would have stopped there, that would have been the ladies are the sexiest. The cinematography is also the sexiest. But then it switches gears and everything kind of basically it gets dark in a really weird way. Where you see in this dance studio, all these ladies, you know, with their hands tied above their heads. And this one girl who the instructor has kind of picked out as her like favorite dancer, they've all been drugged and seem to be under some sort of mind control. But this woman has tied like.
And as a result of this party.
As a result of the party.
Right. The party is thrown by this kind of instructor.
Right.
Everyone is drinking and doing drugs and stuff like that. And you think that like maybe it's just going to get, like you guys said, sexy. Mm-hmm. And right. then instead, you know, she actually just like used that as an opportunity to get these women incapacitated to like put them into this situation that you're describing now.
Right. And what she's done is tie these long blades to this dancer's hand so that when she, by muscle memory or whatever memory that she has in her, because she's drugged in her mind to do this dance, she will like kill all these other dancers.
Yeah.
Which is some like Saw shit.
Right.
And
but it's interesting to like take this like beautiful, like dance is a dance is a thing. I think, you know, dance kind of reached its peak 2 years ago with, you know, all of those Sia videos and Turned Down for What and kind of like the just, you know, like dance started, like you really started seeing a lot more music videos with dance in it. And this is a very interesting way to kind of like take some of these elements that we've seen in music videos recently and kind of put them together and then make the outcome something really unexpected. And so it's really like beautiful dancing but what she's doing is just like murdering all of these women. Or, you know, unintentionally murdering all of these women as they kind of hang.
What I really love about this video is just the subtle way that I find it really, really is great to watch on a repeated viewing because you pick up so much more. The narrative is kind of nestled in to, like you said, Doug, it's sort of masked as a dance performance video. But when you pay attention real closely, you can see that the teacher is in distress right from the beginning. Actually, the first scene of the video is her sharpening the blades. She's actually welding the blades right at the very opening of the
video. Yeah, it's one of those things, and it happens like a lot of music videos do this, is they will like start with one image that and then go away from that image, and you don't really – you almost forget that you saw it. And this music video really does a great job executing that, where you like almost forget that you see at the beginning of this video – someone sharpening blades in a garage, and they don't revisit that until you see those blades strapped to somebody's arms. It's just a really interesting, unexpected way, like placed, and like it never loses any of the beauty. That's the thing. Like at the, you know, even as there's like this kind of like, you know, mass murder going on, you know, it still maintains this like beautiful dance routine. It's a very troubling video by the end.
Right. And the YouTube actually has a really good description of the significance of the video, which describes that the narrative is about the Y generation's obsession with creating a perfect piece of work. And in the video, we definitely see that the teacher is obsessed and will go to any lengths to kind of perfect this dance piece that she,
yeah, because she's also like, she doesn't just do it for fun, like she's taping it, and it's established early that she like sets up this camcorder throughout this process, and that her like filming this like this carnage is part of the part of what she's doing is trying to capture something, you know, through it. So really, really dark and unexpected stuff, but also really beautiful music video as well.
Yeah, I love actually it actually has a lot of horror elements to the video. It reminded me of some other films like Seven, the way the murder is like staged, and Black Swan with the dancing. But the thing that I liked was that despite having all these horror elements, it's not shot that way. It's shot with this really beautiful, like, you know, a very nice saturated, like, you know, it just such a cool contrast to have such a dark visual with like this not dark tone to it. It was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And it's one of those videos that does a really interesting thing, and that's play with our preconceptions of music videos and what we pay attention to music videos. Adam, because you, Adam, you mentioned that they're sharpening knives in the beginning, and we're kind of trained as music video viewers to take elements and just throw them away unless they make a really deep impact. Well, if we're watching like another piece of medium, like we're watching like Law and Order, we're trained to assign value to almost every piece. Because if somebody, you know, if Richard Belzer finds a fork at the crime scene, they're good. That's going to be a callback to something, because those art forms have, you know, a lot of economy of space in them. There's not a lot of wasted space. Whereas music videos kind of can stretch out like that. And you can watch a music video where literally nothing has any value. Like, it could be beautiful, but there is no
narrative value.
Yeah, you don't have to assign narrative value to anything. So this, I think, starts out very cleverly, giving you cues to throw things away. And I think the cinematography, while beautiful, could be a part of that, because if it was something that was shot and lit like a horror, like a classic horror film, that would be giving you cues to process this in a different way.
Yeah, but, right.
I think this is an amazing music video. I love this.
Yeah, it's really great. It makes you feel like, and it's a goal too, it definitely makes you feel really uncomfortable by the end.
Oh yeah, it does.
You like, sure, you get there and you know it's the end of the video and you're like, fuck, well, I'm going to watch this happen now. Like, yeah. But please don't fucking happen. And then it starts to happen. You're like, oh, this shit is brutal. Like,
I thought they were going to cut away at the end, yeah.
Yeah, they don't though. They stick there.
And I think that's why it's so effective, is that it doesn't seem like it's going to go there. I watch tons of horror movies, like really extreme ones as well, and like this, for some reason, it really unsettled me. And I think it's just that crazy contrast, and that you don't see it coming, but it's it was really good. Yeah. Just a great video.
Yeah,
so should we talk about one more?
I think we got time for one more. Let's do one more.
Should we do we could do the Chemical Brothers?
Why? Yeah, let's do it. We're in a dancing mood.
Yeah. In this one, we're going from, a dance troupe that is murdered to one dancer who's not murdered. And this is The Chemical Brothers featuring Beck.
Who you love.
I do love Beck.
I also love Beck.
Who you guys love.
Yeah. Doug, are you not a Beck fan?
Not that I'm not a fan. Yeah, I just know how big of a fan Adam Ferry is.
Well, I haven't been. I mean, It's been maybe a decade since I bought a Beck album.
A Beck-ade?
Yeah.
So dumb.
So this one, and I think Beck has a great voice for something like this. And I think Beck is a good candidate for a lot of these, like, the Chemical Brothers or other electronic artists featuring somebody, because he has a really distinctive voice. And, you know, I feel like he's kind of maybe doesn't really need to be releasing a lot of albums now.
Well, so, Beck and the Chemical Brothers also come from this, this era of music videos together.
Right.
And they have like co-collaborators. They're kind of part of the same little circle of people, like Spike Jones and Sofia Coppola. They've sort of been affiliated in the past. So it makes sense.
And this video is by Dom and Nick, who have done a bunch of Chemical Brothers videos.
Right.
All the way back to the 90s. So they're longtime collaborators of the Chemical Brothers. And this video features a dancer. And basically the concept of the video is this dancer, as she dances, parts of her body are taken away and are replaced with sort of scaffolding, I would call it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like her body becomes a cage by the end. And it has that element to it, you know, there's a well done visual element. But also the dance is great. I got a little bit of a Call Your Girlfriend vibe, the Robin Call Your Girlfriend video. She's kind of dancing in a industrial place like that video. I like this video a lot.
Yeah, very simple but effective. Like, it's just, there's not a whole lot of there could be some symbolism, but there's no narrative. But just very simple and effective. Like you said, the visual effects, I think, are what carry this one.
I think the The dance performance, though, and I think the Steadicam is also very strong in this video too. Mm-hmm. Though it's a one shot, or is it, it's, I think it's one shot, right? Or at least it appears to be.
It appears to be one shot. Yeah.
Yeah. But the visual effects are also very, very strong and very striking. And there are some moments like, where like her heart is revealed and that kind of stuff. And that stuff is really, really good.
And the choreographer of this, which was, Wayne McGregor, kind of an interesting tie-in. It was choreographed the Lotus Flower video by Radiohead from 2011. If you remember, which is kind of a famous video for just featuring Tom York doing a kind of crazy dance. Obviously, this is much more like, you know, this is a professional dancer and a much more choreographed dance. But interesting that that's the same guy.
This effect reminds me of a music video. I can't remember, and I was just looking at it yesterday after watching this video too. Do either of you guys remember? It uses a similar effect of this kind of like the holes appearing in somebody's – it's like a guy drinking coffee, and he's got this same kind of like holes in his body. Come on, guys.
Ooh, I do not know what you're talking about.
I got nothing. I got nothing either. I'm thinking though.
It is
a familiar effect. I felt like I'd seen something, not exactly like it, but something similar.
And the other thing I wanted to direct folks' attention to, which is the top, and if you Google it, it really grosses me out. Triphophobia. Have you guys heard of this?
What is that?
Oh man, let me link this to you. I guess it's like it's a phobia of like weird
pathological fear of holes. Or yeah. Regular pattern of holes. Oh god, this is awful.
But if you Google it, it's all in people's skin and shit, and it makes you that shit is gross looking. But it's interesting to see that if you like if you Google that and then look at in the news, it talks about this video. Really? Chemical Brothers' new video triggering people's typophobia. Oh man, these Google images though are blowing my mind, but I'm clicking further in.
Oh yeah, here we go. Chart attack.
Oh, the shoulder.
Oh, I can definitely see how that is related. Yeah, maybe we need to add trigger warnings to IMDb.
Oh, the Google images. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm troubled, guys. I'm troubled.
Well, on that note, I think we got all through the disturbing shit from this week, you guys. Will spring bring a better news to us as a civilization, as humans?
I think we're getting a Hiro Murai video tomorrow.
Absolutely, yeah. He just said that on Twitter. He said he genuinely didn't know though, which
could
happens,
be. Might.
Happens, yeah, happens quite a bit. Sometimes the release date of a video and release status is out of the hands of the director, which is.
But the crazy thing about Hiro is he didn't even know he made this video. Like he didn't. What? He knew, like, most folks don't know when their videos are coming out. Yeah. Hiro didn't even know that he made this music video.
Yeah, here's the tweet. I guess I made a music video? Question mark. I guess it's coming out tomorrow? Question mark. No, that's not a tweet. Well,
cool joke. We ended with a real strong joke.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys, for my jokes are good.
Typophobia.
Yeah, so, wow, we could be getting the first Hiro Murai music video of 2016. Clear off a space in the top 10, you guys.
Dust it off.
Yeah, dust it off. We're getting ready. Yeah, and so hopefully next week, this time next week, we're talking about a new Hiro Murai video. Everybody go through and say who you think the artist will be. I'll start first. I would bet a significant amount of money on either Bonnie Raitt or Katie Lang. Doug?
Maroon 5.
Ooh, that'd be good. Adam?
Britney Spears comeback video. Coming tomorrow.
Come back from when? Just like her last video.
Yeah,
coming
back from the Smurfs soundtracks and stuff.
Well, she tried the one with Iggy Azalea. Remember the
that's right. I forgot about that one.
The girls so one.
Does anyone want to give a genuine guess?
I feel like it's gonna be an artist that I maybe am like relatively unfamiliar with, but will listen to and love.
Like will become your new favorite artist for the next 6 years.
Yeah, they're just way too many. That's the thing about things like Spotify and that. I just realize how many amazing artists there are that I just don't have the brain power to encapsulate all the.
I love that we're trying to guess who it is, but by the time this podcast is out, it'll be out for a day.
No, I'm going to get this one out quick. You'll see.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Sweet. Well, you know what? I'm going to do that right now. So we'll see you guys next week. And long live the music video.